G'day, this is Lee DeProse, Australian-based commercial photographer, and you're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 108, why the Canon EOS M5 is a mirrorless mess. In this episode, Canon's EOS M5 underwhelms, the Pentax K1 smokes the Canon 5D Mark IV, crazy goings-on for a photographer in Belarus, Canon's new 70-300 looks to be promising, and I learned a valuable lesson getting denied Friday night. All that and more in episode 108 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Lee, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it, brother. Lee DeProse is a senior contributor with our friends over at F-Stop Lounge. He's been a professional photographer for over a decade now and has been in the greater imaging industry for over 15 years. You may have seen his work online, but it's behind the scenes where Lee is doing even greater things. You see, Lee DeProse enjoys connecting creatives with others and helping them reach their goals. He's a catalyst for change, and those in the industry who know him know his value. That's why he has the nickname The Catalyst. Okay, I totally just made that up. But it really should be, because Lee connects people with other people and great things happen as a result. He's one of the nicest guys I know in this awesome industry that we all love, and I'm happy to call him a friend. Over in the show notes for episode 108, I'll have a link over to his awesome photography and more, but it wouldn't hurt to follow him on Facebook and connect with him as well. His account over there is Official Lee DeProse, so official followed by L-E-I-G-H. DIPROSE. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 108 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate you hitting that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode, as well as telling your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. The Canon EOS M5, or as I've been referring to it on social media as just another SKU, was announced this week and marks yet another half-hearted attempt by Canon to do something in the mirrorless arena. I know, I don't mince my words, and that's why many of you guys listen to this show. You know I'm going to call it like I see it. It's true, though. You know, I've let the news of this camera settle in for a few days now, read everything I could about it, watched a lot of YouTube videos, got feedback from listeners, etc. And very few people are excited about this camera. In fact, I haven't talked to a single person who is going to get one of these or thinks that Canon is going in the right direction here. And if somehow you're excited about this camera, please post that in the show notes. Message me on social media, LensShark everywhere, of course, and tell me why you absolutely must have this camera. Or tell me why you think this is a good move for Canon. Because even if you're not interested in buying one, tell me what I'm missing here. I'd like to know. In my mind, unless you already are invested in M-mount glass, why would you get the M5? For those of you who are interested in the M5, I would like to know why you waited so long to get into mirrorless and why you're now pulling the trigger on the M5. Why shun all the great mirrorless cameras that are out there and get this one instead? I just don't see many people stepping forward and saying, you know what, Sharky? The M5 is what I need in my life. I just can't see it happening. There are many, way more compelling mirrorless bodies out there, as we know. Just like that Fujifilm X-T2 that our friends down at DigiDirect in Australia sent me via Kangaroo. Okay, it was FedEx, but Kangaroo, in my mind at least, was way funnier. All right, maybe slightly funnier. But you get the point here. Seriously, aside from the X-T2, there are a ton of cameras that Sony has that are amazing. Even my old A6000 paperweight. I mean camera. Is still awesome. And while Sony's lens lineup isn't fully fleshed out yet, they've got some amazing glass, and Zeiss makes a bunch more, Tamron makes some great E-mount lenses, etc. Canon's M-mount lineup is pitiful. It's going nowhere fast, and no one is super excited about making lenses for it. They just aren't. And I don't see the addition of this camera changing any of the lens makers' minds, really. Even though this camera is not that exciting, let's dive a little bit deeper and see what the specs are, and then you can decide if this is exciting or not. Finally, they've put a built-in electronic viewfinder. That's right, an EVF. It's got 2.36 million dots. There's also a 24.2 megapixel APS-C size sensor inside, the very fast DIGIC 7 image processor, and an ISO range of 100 to 25,600. One of the things that this camera definitely has going for it is Canon's incredible dual pixel CMOS AF, which lets you nail focus in your stills as well as video. And a really cool thing that it has is the ability to drag your thumb across the LCD screen and reposition your AF point. I like that a lot. Also in the M5 is focus peaking should you want to manually focus. And in a first for this series, a low energy Bluetooth smart feature, which will allow the camera to maintain a connection to your smartphone or your tablet if you're running Canon's Camera Connect app. Ergonomics are definitely much improved over the previous models, and if you want to push some frames, the M5 can shoot it up to 7 frames per second normally, or 9 frames per second with AF lock. The latter being scenarios where, let's say, you've got your M5 locked down on a tripod, and your subject is staying put, but maybe they're jumping up and down, running in place, flailing their arms about, etc. So, limited scenarios, but you've got that available to you. And again, having options, not a bad thing, right? If you're looking for 4K video, you're going to be severely disappointed, despite the price point that this camera's in. Unlike many other cameras out there that are cheaper or about this price, you're stuck with full HD video, also known as 1080p, at 60p in MP4 format. It has 5-axis digital image stabilization, a 3.2-inch tilting LCD with 1.62 million dots, Wi-Fi, NFC, and starts up quickly so you can get the shot. It's a nice camera, no doubt, and one that most people, I think, would enjoy if they were given one for free, but there are much better options out there. Listen, the Canon faithful have been waiting and hoping and maybe some praying for a serious mirrorless body out of Canon. One that takes the lenses that they already own, but that's not going to happen apparently. For many, and like I've said here before, no EF mount, no deal. Same with Nikon. You know, no one wants to have to buy a second set of lenses, no matter how much Canon and Nikon's unicorn whispers that in their ears at night. It's just not going to happen. So in my opinion, the EOS M5, like those preceding it, will be a failure. That's not just based on my curmudgeon-y analysis, but what the boatload of people that I've been talking to have been telling me. Canon DSLR shooters are very much intrigued by mirrorless, a lot more now than in the past. You know, they've seen all these great cameras that have come out of Sony with incredible technology in them, and they want those in something that says Canon on it. Based on the feedback that I'm getting, a lot of people are seeing this as a slight by a company who seemingly refuses to give consumers what they really want. So you either hang in there longer hoping for a serious Canon mirrorless system, which doesn't seem to be happening now, or you get an M5 because you're ride or die with Canon, or you start having a serious look now at Sony, Fujifilm, and all the others with fresh eyes. Seriously, many Canon holdouts have told me that this was the last straw for them. They see things a lot more clearly now and realize that if they want an awesome mirrorless camera with great updates coming down the pike and great lenses for them, that they're actually going to have to look outside of Canon. So Canon, you blew it here. I don't know how else to say it to you. M5 or X-T2? The X-T2 wins. M5 or any current Sony? And Sony gets the nod. The M5 is nice, no doubt, but it's just not nice enough. It looks more like what people want, but it's still not there. I mean, no 4K video, no awesome glass, no one cares. If you do, and you know, that's okay, whatever floats your boat, you might also be interested in Canon's new EFM 18 to 150 millimeter f3.5 to 6.3 IS-STM kit lens. An 8.3x zoom lens with 4 stops of image stabilization, and in 35mm terms, that works out to 29 to 240mm. You know, you hear those specs, which aren't at all super exciting, and that range, and you think vacation lens. So another indication from Canon where their head is when it comes to mirrorless. They're just not super serious about it. Not like Sony, not like Fujifilm, not like any of the others out there. I mean, look at me with a straight face and tell me that Canon is all in on mirrorless. You just can't do it. As you can tell, I'm not at all excited about the M5, I mean, Canon really, truly doesn't get it. They just don't. In my opinion, Canon would have been better off to just let M-mount die a slow death, just as Sony is clearly doing with A-mount, and like Nikon's done with their Nikon One system. Canon either needs to get serious about mirrorless or just double down on the DSLR. It's so clear. This is an unnecessary distraction for them in a time where everyone's trying to make profits, and I don't think this is where it's at. Unless they're going to somehow spring a surprise mirrorless system on us at Photokina, which uses their current EF mount glass, I don't think we're likely to see Canon be anything but an also-ran when it comes to mirrorless. I'm still holding out hope that they have a secret parallel mirrorless project deep in the bowels at Canon, where they've got a mirrorless version of the 5D Mark IV, let's say, just waiting for the EVF and some other things to mature to the point of parity with its DSLR brother. If you think about it, that makes a lot of sense, and I've been saying that for many, many months here on the show. If Canon and Nikon were to rip the mirrors out and the experience was indistinguishable from the DSLR, but suddenly you had a lot of fun stuff like being able to see your exposure live in the EVF, focus peaking, etc., who wouldn't buy the mirrorless version? I mean, what's the downside to that? Same look, same feel, but with the benefits of mirrorless. Canon and Nikon would make a huge, huge killing. Unless I'm missing something with the math here, it seems like they could just rip the mirrors out. You don't have to change the flange distance or anything. You might have a lot of extra space in there, but guess what? You can use that for, I don't know, extra battery power, better antennas for Wi-Fi and NFC and all that, etc. If somehow the Canon M5 sounds good to you, well, I would urge you to look and see what else is out there. But if you know in your heart that this is the camera for you, you can pick one up sometime in November of 2016 for $980 US. Or if you want one with a 15 to 45 millimeter lens, you can get that for $1,099 as a bundle. And if you'd like that 18 to 150 vacation lens, as I'm calling it, that's $1,479 with the M5. And that's going to be available sometime in December of 2016. Now, if you want to purchase it separately, you can get that 18 to 150 millimeter lens sometime in December of 2016 in both graphite or silver for $500 US. The Canon M5, I'm telling you, is long for this world, and it barely came out. That's just my opinion, but I can't see many people buying these things. Next. Pentax, if you're listening, or Santa, either is fine. Send me a K1, pretty please. Like my D500 and the X-T2, this is the camera that's had me intrigued since we talked about it months ago here on the show. And apparently DxO Mark digs it as well, because they just tested the heck out of this 36 megapixel Pentax K1, calling it, quote, a full frame marvel, end quote. They say it's got the best sensor in its price range, and of all the sensors they've ever tested, ever, it ranks third. And that is amazing. So as the Petapixel mothership points out, if you're not married to Canon or Nikon or Sony or whatever else that's out there, and you're looking for something different, you'd be wise to have a look at the intriguing Pentax K1. If image quality matters, and it should, of course, right? Having the third highest ranked sensor ever tested by DxO Mark can't possibly be a bad thing. Of this awesome camera, they say, quote, boasting a robust, weather-sealed construction with some interesting features, including built-in stabilization, pixel shift image merging, and Pentax's AA filter simulator, the Pentax K1 offers a lot at a competitive price point. What's more, image quality is among the best we've tested for full-frame, interchangeable lens cameras. End quote. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Pentax, get one of these in my hands, please. I'll beg if I have to. I think it definitely would be worth it. You've got a wonderful camera here, and Sharky want. Now, I think it's important to note that the Pentax K1 lost out to the awesome Nikon D810, but just by one point. It's not going to surprise you that number one was the Sony A7R Mark II, of course. A great, great camera. They're all great cameras, actually. But who knew that the Pentax would be in third place? I mean, if you took a poll, no one would ever put Pentax right there at third, would they? It would never be mentioned among those other two cameras. It wouldn't even enter anyone's mind, I think. So serious consideration should be given to the K1. Again, if you're not heavily invested in another system, or you don't mind making the switch, even if it costs a little bit to do so, this might be a great option for you. especially when you consider that the Nikon D810 costs nearly twice as much as this Pentax K1. So there's that. The recently available Canon 5D Mark IV, the best Canon that they've ever tested, came in a full 5 points below the K1. Think about that for a second. This is the latest and greatest from Canon, and yet it's testing alongside cameras from years ago. It's not even up to the level of the older Nikon D810 or that Sony A7R Mark II. So Canon should be a little bit embarrassed by that, I think. They've got to do something with those sensors to get them to be higher quality, because it's not cool if you're not testing as high as these other cameras are. Now, of that Canon 5D Mark IV, they say, quote, "The significant sensor improvements over its predecessor in both resolution and dynamic range makes the new 5D Mark IV look an attractive upgrade for Mark III owners shooting weddings, events, landscapes, editorial and advertising work, as well as for photographers stepping up to their first full-frame camera," end quote. It smashes many of the other Canon bodies out there, and that's awesome, but the Pentax K1 crushes it, and that can't be ignored. Now, if you're in the Canon system already and happy, then of course, you're not going to even consider the K1. But for everyone else, it's got to be a sweet option that you have to look into, I think. Canon sensors are nice, but they have yet to test anywhere near the Sony sensors, and now the one in the Pentax K1. That body goes for about $1,800 US, and as always, if you buy one of these or anything else really on Amazon, consider heading over to my website at lensshark.com. and hit my Amazon affiliate link first. It's a great way to support the show, and I'd greatly appreciate it. Next. If you follow me on Instagram, Friday night you may have been among the 1,000 or so people who witnessed my very first Instagram story. It wasn't necessarily going to be exciting because I was just in the car, heading to a football game, making stupid dad jokes as I do, and you'd think that the next video in the story would be me at the game shooting, right? Nope. You see, there was a very unintended and unexpected plot twist. Between doctor appointments for my wife and I, being on the shows of others, putting out the show, etc., I've been off my game lately. In fact, I managed to somehow lock myself out of my home office the other day, which required calling a locksmith so I could just get back in and do my work. And so Friday night, I wasn't as prepared as I should have been for shooting football at a high school that I've never shot before. When I was a photojournalist, everyone at the various schools knew who I was, and if they didn't, my ID from the newspaper smoothed the way. Here in Idaho, though, I'm just another guy with a camera to them. They could care less what I do for a living, you know, I'm talking about this show here, and certainly wouldn't care that I've achieved some success in the photography industry. That is meaningless to them. You know, as it should be, right? It's not at all relevant to a high school. I shoot for a good friend's sports website, so I showed my credentials there to get into the game. That got me through the initial gatekeepers, but then I came to a man who couldn't let me on the field and directed me to a woman way on the other side who would let me in. So I'm thinking, no problem, that's the side I want to shoot from anyhow because of where the sun was setting, etc. So I make my way over to the other side of the field. I see the woman, I look down, and I see that there's a clipboard in her hand. And it was at that moment that I realized that my enjoyable evening of shooting football was just not going to happen. In Idaho, unlike Utah and Arizona before it, the state athletics governing body doesn't issue credentials. So what you need to do here is contact each individual school and gain permission. Presumably, they each have their own guidelines, and some will say yes, and some will say no. And that's just not ideal, of course. You know, I have an actual legitimate sports website that I shoot for, so having credentials that are good at all schools would be incredibly helpful. And that's what I'm used to having. But that's not how they do it here in Idaho for some reason. So I suspect that it's going to be hit or miss. And there's just going to be some schools that I can shoot at and some that I can't. And that's fine. Whatever, right? So long as there's an opportunity to shoot somewhere, I'm a happy camper. If you guys have been listening to this show for a while, you know that I put it all out there. The failures as well as the successes, because it's important to know all of that. You know, the sun is not always shining on me. I'm just like everyone else out there. And to the folks here in Idaho, they don't care what I've done or what I'm doing now. And that's okay. That's fine. That's how it should be. When I was with the newspaper, you get special access, of course, and everyone realizes in a free society, having that access for journalists is very important. But I'm not a journalist anymore. So things are completely different. And it's taken a little getting used to, I gotta admit. getting denied access to shoot a football game, especially when you've had unlimited access in the past, is definitely something that's new to me. Hey, you know what? It is no fun getting all your gear together, all the time it takes to do that, driving 30 minutes out to the field, thinking that you're going to be shooting your new Nikon D500 and your even newer Fujifilm X-T2, and then getting sent on your way. But I learned a valuable lesson, and that is that you can't make assumptions based on past experience. Just because something worked before doesn't mean it's going to work again. So I'm going to get on those approved lists at the various high schools, hopefully all of them, and shouldn't have any problems the rest of the season. You know, lesson learned. And if you follow me on Instagram, which is LensShark, by the way, I'm LensShark everywhere. From time to time, you're going to see me post some stories. The one from the other night, I don't know if it was because I got denied and people thought that was funny. I got a lot of great messages, a lot of funny messages, and encouragement to do more of these stories. You know, last episode, I told you about the mom and her kids attached to her that was shooting from the sidelines. Well, she at least got to shoot. Sharky James, not so much. And that's pretty funny. Next. Well, it's official. Canon's new EF 7300 f4.5 to 5.6 IS Mark II has been announced. And yes, it has that newly developed LCD information display built in. Improvements over the original version of this popular lens include nano USM technology for high-speed focusing with nearly imperceptible noise, and that's something that's going to be extremely helpful when you shoot video especially, but also when shooting photos without adding to the already loud noise of your camera shutter. Nano USM works by combining the already awesome speed of Canon's ultrasonic motor, also known as USM, along with the smoothness that's afforded by a stepping motor. You know, this is where everything is going, of course, with most lenses. Not everyone's going to have their audio coming in through the mic jack. And for those people, you know, who are on more of a budget and can't afford all this extra audio gear, you have to have a quieter lens. You just do. Otherwise, it completely ruins the audio portion of your video. And then it becomes pointless, right? Also, these quieter lenses are yet another reason, a legitimate one, for Canon to tempt you into upgrading, of course. This new Canon 70-300 will compensate for 4 stops of shake with its image stabilization, so that's nice, but it's that digital display that's going to mesmerize you for a solid 6.5 minutes or so. Then you can get on with your life again. It'll show you the usual distance scale info, but by pressing the mode button next to that display screen, it'll also show you the focal length that you're at. Now, this is a little bit redundant because about a half inch or so higher on the actual zoom ring, you can see that info. But what's really cool is if you mount this to a crop sensor body, such as the ADD, the digital display calculates the crop factor for you and lets you know what focal length you're effectively at. So while the zoom ring indicates that you're at 100 millimeters, it's actually going to say 160 in that digital display and show you what you're effectively at. Hey, you know, it's 2016, and if we can do even less math than we already do, that's definitely going to be helpful for us. Now, the display on the lens will also show you the level of detected lens shake, but you're most likely going to have your eye to the viewfinder and not checking that out. However, I suppose that if you're using an LCD screen that flips out, that might be something you can glance at, but really, do you need to know that? I don't think you really do. As we speculated when we last talked about this possible lens display window, there's an option to reverse the lettering so you can actually see light letters on a dark background or dark letters on a light background. And depending on your vision and your needs, that's going to be huge for some people. This new Canon 70-300 also features a special UD lens element to help reduce chromatic aberration, a 9-blade circular aperture for smoother bokeh, full-time manual focus is available too, and it can focus about a foot closer than the model it replaces. Now, if you can wait until November 2016 for this lens, you can pick one up for just $550 US. I think this is going to be a great lens for those that don't want to drop the big bucks on L-series glass. You know, not everybody wants to spend $2,000 on a lens, of course. They're still going to come away with great images from this lens, and it's going to be a big seller for Canon. No doubt about it. Next. We have very few listeners in Belarus, and that's probably a good thing because if you're a photographer there, a recent court decision might make you want to take up something else. And especially if you're photographer Anton Matulko. It wasn't at all a good week for the photographer, as first he lost a copyright suit against a state-run television network that should have actually gone his way. And as if that wasn't bad enough, he was told that he lost the suit because his photo, quote, has no artistic merit whatsoever, end quote. And that was according to the court's expert witness. Now, if you see the photo, you're going to be shocked that anyone could possibly say that has no artistic merit. Remember, he was up against state-run television, so it is what it is. Now, back in March of 2015, he shot a series of beautiful images of the Northern Lights, shared them out on social media, and the very next night, state-run television took one of his photos and used it not only without permission or payment, but they didn't even give him credit, and that's shameful. All that was not cool as it was, but he says that they used his image like it was propaganda for the country's president, a man he very much despises. So, insult, meet your friend injury. The photographer sued for the equivalent of what's less than one U.S. cent, so it wasn't about money, it was about principle. Since he lost, his photos were ruled to be a, quote, commonplace record of a social event, end quote. And as a result, copyright doesn't apply, and they're essentially in the public domain now for all to use. And they have been. It's a beautiful image, and people are using it like crazy. So much for no artistic merit, huh? So you create something beautiful, someone uses it, a court says everyone else can use it now, and you don't get a darn thing out of it but grief. Not that you were on this list anyhow, but Belarus, I'm officially removing you from the non-existent Sharky James World Tour. The photographer has submitted an appeal to the United Nations World Intellectual Property Organization in hopes that they'll see the value of his work and overturn this, but in the meantime, he's left out in the cold and has to watch everyone use his photo and not get a darn thing for it. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 108 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else I have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, and I hope you do, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, where I'm now doing stories, or Facebook, where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. And don't forget, if you make any purchases using Amazon, head on over to lensshark.com, hit my Amazon affiliate link, and you'd have my undying gratitude. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 109. Well, it's f8 2/50 of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.
Sometimes it's not a bright, sunny shot. It's easy for me to say. That proves it right there.